Hi, welcome to Metro by T-Mobile.
Hi, my dad is in serious need of an upgrade.
Yeah, my phone's a fossil.
He needs a new phone and a new network, stat.
Well, when he switches to Metro, he can get an amazing iPhone 7 with HD Retina display for just $99.99 after ID validation.
Wow, $99.99?
Bye-bye, fossil.
Requires porting of eligible number not currently active on T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days with validation of ID and independent database limit 4 per account slash household. 32 gigabyte model only. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Welcome. You're listening to the Habits for Success podcast with award-winning author, actor, four-time Ironman triathlete, coach, and TEDx speaker, G. Brian Benson, where he chats up inspiring, creative, and thought-provoking authors, athletes, actors, artists, and entrepreneurs from all walks of life as they share their stories, success habits, struggles, and wisdom that propelled them to their own unique version of success. Be prepared each episode to be inspired, learn something new, and have some helpful takeaways that will provide insight, empowerment, and tools to live your best life.
Welcome to this week's episode of Habits for Success, the podcast. I hope this finds you well. I'm your host, G. Brian Benson. Have you ever had one of those days where nothing seemed to be going right, and then all of a sudden you saw or heard something really funny that just totally turned your attitude around because you started to laugh? I'm sure we all have. I know it's cliche, but laughter really is the best medicine. To laugh is to feel alive. To laugh with another is to be spiritually connected with them. Laughter brings hope. Laughter brings relief. Laughter heals our bodies. Laughter brings people together. Why would anyone not want to laugh? I think the best way to have a laugh is to share it with another person. Luckily for us, there are plenty of wonderful places to search out a laugh if we need one. TV, movies, the internet, books, magazines, politics, friends, and life experiences. And let's all start by laughing at ourselves more. Why aren't we doing that? Everyone has become so serious and easily offended these days. Let's turn down the ego and turn up the loosen up. I remember when I was on a trip to Europe with my good friend Jordan and some members of his family. We were eating at a really nice restaurant in Frankfurt, Germany, and as we were leaving, the maitre d' was shaking everyone's hand goodbye. Well, I didn't notice that he was standing at the top of a small set of stairs. So as I made eye contact with him and shook his hand, I then tripped and fell flat on my face below everyone. Being the goofy guy that I can be at times, I immediately stood up and yelled, "Safe!" just like I had just slid across home plate. They all got a good laugh out of that, and it took some of the sting out of my embarrassment for falling down. Jordan and I still laugh about that to this day. Get out and laugh more. And now on to this week's guest. Welcome to Habits for Success, the podcast. Today's guest, you are going to love him. Mark Sipka is a quick-witted actor and comedian still waiting for his growth spurt. This energetic kid in a suit jokes about his many failed jobs, pokes fun at his own generation, and delivers head-turning impressions. Sipka loves making fun of his family and even roasted them on stage on Amazon Prime in his comedy special, Mark Sipka, My Special Family Special, which has over 105 star reviews. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much, Brian. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm looking forward to having you on. It's always a pleasure connecting with you, and you are one of my favorite people here in LA.
Oh, thanks, man. The same goes out to you, and I appreciate you having me on. I always love getting to talk with you.
You're welcome, and I assume the check's in the mail?
Yeah, it's coming. Sorry, I'm just behind this year, but my compliment checks should be getting back to normal on their monthly schedule.
Good. All right. Just wanted to make sure. I probably could have done that afterwards, but we're good.
Now let people know. Let them know.
Okay. I digress. When did you know that you wanted to be a performer?
I knew towards the end of high school. I really was encouraged by my drama teacher. Towards the end, in those last couple years, that's when I started getting involved in the theater department there. And she was just one of those teachers, that, man, you just know there's something special. It's clear that this woman cares, Mrs. Campbell. Mm-hmm. And she taught us improv. She taught us how to deliver all these different types of speeches, and she was that one that played with us. Mm. She was that teacher that really went the extra mile. And I just remember her sitting down with me one day and saying, I really think you can do this. Mm. And that meant so much to have somebody who wasn't my friend. They weren't my family member. They had no reason other than that they really meant it to say something like that. Mm. And that meant so much because this is somebody who spent every day, you know, in class with me, on stage with me, watching. And that was just so cool. That meant so much that she took the time to say that. And mm-hmm. I really felt that. I always loved making people laugh, whether it was on the football team, basketball team, baseball mm-hmm. team, whether it was in class, whether it was at lunch. Yeah. But, you know, you never think, oh, well, I mean, I could probably do that for a living. But
sure.
That's when I really felt it.
That's awesome. Were you one of that? Were you? So I assume that you were always having to stand outside the door, from class, from being like sent outside for disrupting things. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself.
I specifically recall a time. It was earlier than high school, in third grade. My teacher, Mrs. Massenary, she's also one of my favorites. I had my idol when I was in elementary school was Steve Urkel from Family Matters.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was the best. I loved him so much that I dressed up as Steve Urkel 2 years in a row, third grade and fourth grade for Halloween. And I would just sort of imitate him all the time. And my teacher was trying to tell us a story, and I kept interrupting her over and over again. And she got up out of her chair, grabbed me by the ear and pulled me out of class. You can tell this is the good old days. She grabbed me by the ear, pulled me out of class, said, "Sipka, listen up. You're really funny, and I love Urkel. But you said you got to know when to turn it on and turn it off. And right now, this is my show, not yours." And that changed my life, Brian, because I didn't know, oh, there's supposed to be an off switch. Oh, have I been ridiculously annoying? That was so huge for me. I'll tell you what, it only takes one ear grab, you know, a little bit of pain, associate that with a learning moment, and that was it for me. That changed it. Not that I never caused trouble ever again in my entire life, but I never forgot that.
Thank you. You know, I never got an ear grab, thank goodness. But I did have to step outside the door a few times for talking, probably when I shouldn't ever, trying to be funny. I wasn't probably nearly as funny as you are, but
stepping out the door in front of the whole class can be very embarrassing too.
Oh yes, that's for sure. Oh gosh, so. Were you doing this running around the house too and stuff? I mean, you know, when you're little and kind of driving your family nuts,
yes, or
do they find it cute? Or
I probably a mix. I'm sure my brothers lean towards not cute. But like, you know what? My family didn't discourage it, which looking back, I really appreciate that. They, you know, we watched a lot of movies together. Mm-hmm. And like we would watch a lot of just these great 80s, 90s movies. Like I still remember I loved Three Amigos so much. And I would watch that with Steve Martin, Martin Short, Chevy Chase. And my favorite scene was when they're in the bar with all these rough other cowboys and they sing My Little Buttercup and they have this synchronized dance. And I had it on VHS and I would pause, rewind, pause, rewind, and learn every dance move, exactly how they did it. And I just thought they were the coolest. And I remember watching Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams mm-hmm. and loving that, and Hook, and then also, you know, Ace Ventura and Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey and mm-hmm. Liar Liar, and, you know, trying to walk like them, talk like them, say the lines like them. But my brothers very much did a lot of that too. Mm. And we just laughed a lot together as a family. Mm. And I also remember I had this this treasure chest sort of thing in the basement. I had under the stairs, I had my own little fort, and I had all these costumes with wigs and all these things, and I would just combine a bunch of different ones, do different voices and postures, and run around the house in the backyard, and just always put on a show for maybe no one. You know, maybe there wasn't anybody there, or maybe it was with my friends. But I would do that all the time. I just loved doing it.
Definitely foreshadowing.
Yeah.
So I'm one of the, I mean, you're very funny in a lot of different ways. I mean, your stand-up's great, and your characters are just hilarious. You know, were some of these characters created when you were little like that, or did most of them kind of evolve a little bit later on?
You know, it's interesting looking back. There were some that were made when I was younger. I can think back to ones, at least when I was in high school. I played a lot of sports. Every season I was in another sport. Basketball was the first one to really break my heart, and I started sitting on the bench during my JV season, and I was like, well, this doesn't feel that good. And so I quit after that season, and my junior and senior year, I all of a sudden became the ringleader of the student section. And I would go out and I would dress up as different characters.
Oh, wow.
You know, and one time specifically, I think still one of my favorite things to do is just to dress up like an old man. And I dressed up as this old guy, and I walked into the gym really slowly. I had the sweater vest and cane and glasses. And I remember just taking a really long time to walk up each bleacher. And different people came up to me and said, we thought somebody's grandpa was in the wrong place and sitting with all the high school kids. And I would lead the cheers as this old man. Or one day I this other character became, you know, that old man became Glenn Sheffield, who was an old man that I developed later, who was a retired slide projector salesman. And then one day I dressed up, and our school colors were orange and black. And I just so happened to have an orange prison inmate outfit, and I wore that with a mullet, and I painted facial hair on, and that character later became my character Uncle Chet. He didn't always wear a prison uniform, but I remember being called in by the principal after dressing up and going to a basketball game in this prison jumpsuit, and he was like, just so you know, I don't want you to do that again. I think a lot of what you do is really funny, but I don't want people to think that our school is filled with inmates. I was like, all right, lesson learned.
God. Oh, my God. Are you, for our listeners, I mean, do you mind like kind of talking like Glenn Wood or Uncle Chet for a second? Yeah. I mean, or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Glenn Sheffield. Glenn Sheffield's a feisty one. He always goes, I'm a retired slide projector salesman. They don't make them like they used to. And I'm not just talking about the slide projectors, ladies. He's always on the prowl, man.
Oh, okay.
Uncle Chet is slightly inspired by my Uncle Mike, you know, who can say different things. Like, but when we would go on vacations and we were little, we were just about to get out of the minivan, and my dad would always say, now, we love Uncle Mike, but we're not going to say what he says, and we're not going to do what he does. Because I remember Uncle Mike would say some inappropriate things all the time, and so I had to create this character, Uncle Chet, who's just like, I'm Uncle Chet, and you're welcome. You know, and I still remember we went to a hotel together, and we hadn't been there for more than 5 minutes as a family. And my Uncle Mike comes out of his hotel room and goes, don't go in there. I choked the toilet. And I laughed so hard that I cried. I lost it. I thought that was just the funniest thing. I'm just this little kid. I'd never heard anybody use that term. And I just lost it. So I later have retained that, and I'm sure he wishes I didn't.
right, right.
Quote and use that as Uncle Chet.
Oh my God. So, I don't even know where to start. You used to have like a, was it a monthly show? And
yes.
I would go, yeah. And you would, it was great because you had a few other people along on with you, but you would come out and kind of do a little monologue, and then you do one of your characters each month. And you know how much I know you interacted with the audience a lot, and it was great. You improvised with them. How much of that was scripted, and how much did you just kind of use, you know, with what they had to offer?
So with a lot of the characters, what I'll do is, I mean, depending on which ones they are, but a lot of them, I really realized my favorite thing to do is script about half of it, and then let the audience talk to you. Mm. So with ones like Tad, who's his only real character layer is he thinks Wizard of Oz is the greatest movie of all time, and all other movies are absolute garbage.
Right.
So with Tad, I go, this guy's got to be a Wizard of Oz expert. So I memorized all these Wizard of Oz facts and history and all of that stuff.
Gosh.
And so I will make sure that I hit those facts. So in the first few minutes, I will deliver my case to you of why this is the greatest and sort of show you who this character is. And then in the second half, I open up the floor and I let people suggest to me movies that they think are better. And that's when I just get to improv all of it and roast all of their ideas. And that is one of the most fun things for me to do, because with my characters, I love doing them because I get to combine my love of stand-up, my love of acting and sketch comedy and improv. And I want to find more ways to do that. But right now, in the past several years, it's been through those characters. I just love being able to bring them to life. And there's something about it. It's goofy, you know, like when you say, hey, I have a different name, I've got glasses on or a wig on or different clothing.
Yeah.
People all of a sudden, they will buy into it. And you can just say and do whatever you want. There's an ultimate freedom there. You know, like I've always told people, they go, you know, Mark, you're pretty confident on stage. I go, I wish I was half as confident as my character, Freddie Falcone. You know,
he's got God, yeah,
thick New York accent, you know, and he just looks like he can rule the world, you know. And I think there's something fun about being able to step in into these characters and bring them to life in front of people. And also for the audience, give them some power. Because for me, I think that's my improv love coming in. For me, I love going, all right, tell me what to do next. Ask me something. Give it to me. You know, like it
feels
takes
a lot of trust.
Yeah, it takes a lot of trust. I trust that they're going to be able to give me something, and they trust that I'm going to be able to give them something in return. And we get to make something together and collaborate, which I want more of. And I think people want more of. That's the fun part of the live thing. Like, there's nothing fun about live scripted. I like live and in your face, on the spot. Hey, anything can happen. I don't really believe in heckling. I think whatever you give me, man, that is a gift. That is a gift.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I mean, there's a whole different energy to that, you know, especially when you're in the audience watching that. And it's like it's a different form of like, you don't know what's going to come next. I mean, like it's, you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it, but it's kind of a special feeling to be there witnessing that.
Yeah. And I think that's what I want to create for people. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, you came out all this way. Let's give you something special that cracks you up, and maybe you can be a part of it too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you, you're great. Well, and I will mention, and you know, we'll give your information later on your website, marksipka.com. But you have some of your characters and videos up there, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, they can watch. I've got different sections on there of my videos. There's sketch, and there's stand up, and there's impressions, and there's commercial stuff. So you can see a lot of different videos up there if you check it out.
Well, no, it's great stuff. I mean, in any more these days, I mean, you're really a master of creating your own content. And I know that in today's world, especially here in, you know, the entertainment business, it's really kind of become an important part of our portfolio to try to, you know, get yourself seen, you know, doing it yourself.
Yeah, it definitely has become a huge thing. it's something that I first did out of just necessity. Mm-hmm. There was just nothing around me. It was while I was in college. I saw nothing but resources, but there weren't built-in, you know, there wasn't a built-in sketch group or a built-in video creators group. You know, I saw auditoriums and I saw people, and I just thought we can do something here. And so I got together a couple buddies and we started making our own videos and creating our live sketches. And we challenged ourselves to do only original characters and original stuff, no parodies, no nothing. Mm. We wanted people to be able to come into this show with no prior knowledge of really anything and be able to enjoy the show. And we called it Business Casual. And it was so much fun. We did that for years at school, and it grew and grew. And one of my buddies, Trent Bruce, and I, we actually both moved out here together at the same time and lived together for the first couple of years out here and challenged ourselves, hey, let's make a new video every week and put it out. And that was such a good challenge to go, hey, guess what? No matter what happens this week, I don't care if it's vacation. I don't care if we get sick. I don't care what happens. A new video comes out Monday. Why? Because we told people, new video every Monday. And we did that for years. And I think that was such a good challenge and so much fun to be able to, I think sometimes as creatives, I think we need to give ourselves a little fence, a little boundary, a couple rules. And I think a lot of great work is created with just a little bit of a boundary, just a little bit there. It's sort of like, you know, give the kids on the playground a fence so that I know how far I can go. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it was like, create something truly original and create it within this time frame. That was such a good challenge for us to be like, well, we know exactly when we have to do it. Because I know for me, if I don't have a deadline that anybody's going to check me on, it's going to be really hard for me to put out a large amount of work. Because for me, if I just set the deadline, I go, oh, we can push this till later and later and later. And next thing you know, months have gone by and you have a to-do list that's very large, but your done list is just about empty. I've fallen in that trap a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, congratulations for staying, you know, for making that happen. But I think the beauty of it also, I mean, you're also keeping yourself honed for auditions and you know what I mean? And you're developing and just kind of curating your confidence as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that's so important for us, you know, and I think too, sort of saying you're putting out into the world, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want. This is my zone. Mm-hmm. And you're also reminding yourself, this is what I'm doing. And this is what I'm good at. Because I know how easy it is to forget. I mean, you can do a bunch of comedy shows back to back to back, but then you go, oh, my real comedian, you know,
spend
1 week since you've had a show or something. You go a few days.
I'm digressing. Yeah.
Or like even an actor, you're like, all right, I'm on set today, but tomorrow unemployed again. Am I even an actor? Yes. And it's so easy to forget that this is what you do when you're not doing it. So it's like, all right, back in the gym, let's go get our workout on. Like we got to keep these comedy muscles and acting muscles strong.
Definitely. Well, you do a great job of it.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. So now how long have you been in LA now?
So it's been over 7 years now.
Okay. You got me beat by about a year. How have you changed since you first got here?
I think since I first gotten here, I have been focusing the past several years on the quality over quantity mentality when it comes to, at least when it comes to taking and creating work. When I first came out here, I approached it the same way I did when I got to college. You know, I came from a small town of 10,000 and I got to college and I went, wait, there's more options other than just going to the movie theater or bowling alley tonight. And I joined every club, every group, everything you could do. I, I barely slept, man. I took naps at night. That's what I did. And so
where'd
you
go? Where'd you go?
I went to Anderson University in Indiana. Okay. And they just provided you so many options. I mean, I was in the ping pong club, for crying out loud. I was in everything. And I loved it. I'm glad I did it that way. And then I noticed as the years went, I sort of narrowed it down. Okay, what do I really love? What am I really good at? What am I passionate about? And I approached the same thing out here in L.A. I dove into the improv world and was on a bunch of teams and took a bunch of classes and created a bunch of videos and did as much as I could all at once. And, you know, you get a little burnt out after a while, but I'm really glad I did that because, you know, I tried all this food and I went, oh, but these are my favorites. You know, this is my bread and butter right here. And all I eat is bread and butter. That's it. I'm probably unhealthy. I'm humongous. And so I would say, like, especially after, you know, the past year when I put out my stand-up special, that was the first big thing that I ever really tried to accomplish. I think after being out here several years, I realized, all right, I got a lot of credits. I've got a lot of videos. Mm-hmm. But I would trade them all in for one or two big things. You know, I want the movie. I want the TV show. Mm-hmm. We moved out here to be on the big screens. And so I go, let's do some big screen thing. And so that really motivated me to take the time, learn how to even do something like this and create that stand-up special where I roasted my family. And I after doing that and while I was doing it, I went, man, you know what? It's a really good thing that I love this idea and I'm passionate about this project because this is taking a long time mm-hmm. and is really, really difficult to finish. Planning the whole thing and all of that wasn't nearly as difficult as the aftermath going, all right, we're working on the editing now. Whoa, this is a lot longer than a 5-minute video. Whoa, like, where's this going to go? You know, I realized how hard it is to finish something when you don't know what the ending result will be. Where's this going to go? Because this time it's mm-hmm. not going on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And
so you didn't plan on it going on Amazon when you made it. You just felt like you wanted to make it, and then you'll try to find an avenue.
Exactly. I knew it had to be made. I just didn't know where it would end up. No, I just knew I wanted big things for it.
I resonate that with a lot of things that I do as well. I mean, good for you on just following that intuitive hunch. So after you got it put together, was it, I don't know, how long did the whole process take from like the idea to actually, you know, seeing it on Amazon, being able to share it on Amazon?
It was about two and a half years.
Wow. Good for you.
Looking back, it was hard going from new video every Monday to one big thing a couple of years from now, you know, that and I was making small things in between, but I realized, man, my focus is on this. My focus has to be dedicated to this. And so, yeah, I planned it for months, just gathering stories. My mom even kept a journal, which is great, of just of some of our family stories that are some of her favorites. Mm. And she even has a section that is just a bunch of my dad's quotes, which cracked me up. And so I just gathered stories for months, prepped exactly what the order was going to be for each member of the family, which stories I was going to choose. And I prepped for that for months. And then afterwards, it was just a lot of the editing process, narrowing it down, and also just getting feedback from people too. Because I really wanted to make sure people who didn't know me or my family would enjoy this.
They did after they watched it.
They did, which was so cool. It was so cool.
We should tell the audience that your family was sitting there while you were, you know, obviously there. It was kind of like you were roasting them, this special. It's hilarious. I mean, they're all there and they're all participating, and it's really, really well done.
Thanks, Brian. They were great sports. You know, my family.
They'd have to be.
Oh, man. It's so funny because people go, oh, you know, I don't think my family would ever be able to do that or whatever. But my family expresses love Our love language is roasting each other. Whenever we get together, it's funny to see somebody who's meeting the family for the first time and to just see, I don't know why our family takes the opportunity, but everybody just sort of locks in their brain a handful of the most embarrassing stories they can think of the other people. That's sort of how we introduce ourselves to other people. And it just becomes, at every holiday, at every family get together, it just becomes who's going to get roasted next. And my dad definitely has the thickest skin. He has, granted though, he's said and done the dumbest things. he has thick skin and has definitely taught me how to deliver a joke and to take a joke. And because I had a hard time with that, with having two older brothers that made fun of me constantly and still do.
Oh, yeah.
He would always be like, "Mark, don't let them know that it bothers you." But he would say that in front of them, so they would just want to roast me more. But my family, they were great, and they, even beforehand, my brother Phil came up to me before the roast, and he just said, "Hey, man, don't hold back tonight." And I just let loose, and they were awesome, and it's so funny now, because everybody has inside jokes on the Sipka family, and when they see them, people who know them, they go up and they know how to make fun of them too. So I really taught people how to treat my family now.
Well, the beauty of it, I mean, you do it, and it's not really in a dirty way. I mean, it's respectful, but it's truth, you know. And what I love about it is you're the youngest kid, and so it's like you're getting all this revenge. You know what I mean? I mean, you're getting your due because you were kind of, you know, got the short end of the stick growing up.
Oh yeah, I think every let this be a lesson to every older brother out there. You never know. You never know if your little brother or sister is going to become a comedian someday. So treat them well.
Oh God. What inspires you?
I am really, really inspired. I'm inspired by what I want to see more of in the world, I would say. You know, like, I am inspired by people who I see doing things their own way. I really want to see more of that. Like, we do so much looking around, asking permission, asking for, like, what the review is of something before we try it or we see it. And I love those people that go, "You know what? I see how all of you are doing it, but I really feel like I got to do it my way." Mm-hmm. Sinatra style right there. It's really hard to do. It is really, really hard to do, to create something truly original. So whenever I see that in music or in movies or on TV, that inspires me. I love those people that have created their own worlds, invited us in and said, "All right, these are my rules. This is how I do things." And they're game changers. I love the game changers. You know, that's why I think I gravitate so much towards Elvis, because he did so many things that were weird. Didn't listen to critics who were saying, "If you listen to this music, you're going to hell. You know, if you listen to this, you are the scum of the earth. You know, you, Elvis, you got dumb hair. We don't like the way you dance. Your music's too loud. We don't like the way you dress." And what do you know? What do you know? He's iconic for all of those things. They said the same thing about Robin Williams. Said, "You're too big, too loud, you're too crazy," all of that. And you know what? He didn't change. They changed for him.
Yeah.
The industry changed around him. He was so fast on that set of Mork and Mindy that they added an extra camera to keep up with that guy. Jim Carrey, you're too crazy. We don't know. We need to tone you down. Notice that everybody's trying to tone these guys down. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Like, I say, turn it up, turn up the volume, you know, like, and I'm so glad that these guys didn't listen to critics, because we would have missed out on some of the greatest work, some of the funniest stuff, some of the most original music, if they had listened. And so for me, I really want to, as somebody who's creating their own work and performing on stage and on screen, I want to know what I need to hold on to that makes me me, Mm-hmm. And I think we're all trying to figure that out. What is it that makes me special? What is it that makes me different? And really know that and hold on to that, because when somebody says, you need to change this about yourself, you need to change this and this, I want to know what's me. And I want to know what to say. You know what? I'm not gonna. No, thank you. Like, you either accept this or not. I like people that make their own rules. I love guys like Larry David. Mm. He creates what he wants to make, and he does it when he wants to. I love that he goes, yeah, I'm going to have my own show. I'm a great writer, but I'm just going to write outlines, and we're going to improvise it. Who does that on HBO? Like, this guy comes out there and puts his foot down and makes something that I think is hilarious, and he's made two of the funniest shows in Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And I just know already how hard it is to not listen to all those voices on the outside critiquing your every move. And I also know that there's that awful loudest critic, which is on the inside, you know, critiquing everything that I do, my own self-critic.
Oh, for sure.
And so how to block those out and go, no, man, I'm doing it my own way. So I'm really inspired by people that are making things that we need to see, and they're doing it with this passion and this focus that can't be shaken.
Mm. Well, I just keep doing what you're doing, because, you know, whenever I go see you live, I mean, it does inspire me. I mean, it's hilarious, and it just gets me out of my head and just makes life feel fun. Even beyond that, I sense your authenticity, and everybody, I think at some level, whether they're aware of it or not, wants to be their authentic self. And it just gives us permission to be that when we witness someone like you or the other people that you mentioned. Yeah. So
I want more of, I want people to feel like,
so do I,
they can be themselves and they can be free and feel good no matter what kind of day they had or week or month or year. You can come in here, we can create our own world for the next couple hours, whether it's by watching a movie I do or hearing some jokes or stories. Like, I definitely like helping people escape. I really like that, because those comedians and those actors that have done it for me, they're the ones that really were game changers, in my opinion.
Absolutely. What do you do to stay encouraged and motivated? Because, you know, I know this business isn't always easy, you know, being told no a lot. And
I know,
what works for you?
I think being a fan of this industry has been such a huge thing for me. Mm. I'm a fan of the people in it. I love the people in this city and the people in this industry. And so I like being on stage and performing, and I also like watching people do their thing. I'm never going to be that comedian or actor who doesn't like watching other people's work. Mm. So I am constantly producing and consuming. I really love seeing what people bring to the table. And I like surrounding myself with other people that are creating their own stuff. There's a lot of different inspiring programs out here in LA. Like, there's one of my favorites that my buddy Seth Allison, he goes by Seth Word. He is one of the most original, hilarious performers I've ever seen. Mm. He's been creating his own work for years, and he created this program called Show and Tell. And it's so fun. It's this monthly screening in his backyard. He built a movie screen on the back of his house, and every month people can submit their new videos and shorts and sketches, and everybody gets together and sits there in the backyard. There's like 75 people to 100 people. There's snacks and everything. Oh. And people hang out, watch each other's videos, laugh. And afterwards you hang out, talk with the people whose videos you enjoyed. You make friends there. You collaborate. You find out how you can help each other. And it's so encouraging. And you know what else? It's a deadline. You can go, I can create some new work this month and show it in front of a live audience instead of just posting it online. And that's such a terrific program where I feel very encouraged, where people will keep you accountable and check in with you and just give you that feedback right there on the spot. And there's another program called Channel 101. Every month it takes place at the Downtown Independent. And you can submit your 5-minute or less pilot to this program. And if it gets in, then you get to show it on the big screen at this movie theater. And the crowd votes for their 5 favorite episodes. Whatever 5 move on, you get to see the next episode next month. Mm-hmm. And so I think being around people who are doing the things that I want to do and doing it in a way that inspires me, like that, I get so much out of that. I really, really do.
Well, I love it. Well, you know, I love it because, you know, it's such a competitive thing out here, but to be able to just flip that on its side and just hang around other people that you're, I wouldn't even say you're competing with, but you know what I mean? Just befriending them and then just helping each other. And it's a lot nicer way to go about it.
So too. And you know, we really are so much more similar.
We all
moved out here to create things. We all moved out here to do something special. We're in it together. You know, we're all these outsiders trying to make this place our home. And yeah, there isn't that competition because we are all doing it differently.
Exactly. That's the key. I think when you try to do it like other people, then you're just going to kind of fall in line and you're not going to really be able to distinguish yourself. But like these people that you're talking about and yourself for sure, if you are being yourself, then you will stand out because you're you.
Yeah, exactly. And oddly enough, you know, when you see other people do things their way, it sort of makes you think, all right, what's my way? What's my original way? You know, it doesn't make you go, I'm going to do it just like them. Because if you do it just like them, it's not going to be good.
Right. Right. It's already been done.
Yeah.
I love it. So I want to do something. We're kind of getting toward the end here. I want to do something that is going to be very fun for me. I hope it's fun for you. So I'm going to have Mark read one of my spoken word pieces called Your Voice. And I'm going to have, I think there's 9 different stanzas. I'm going to have him do impersonations of some people that you may have heard of and some not yet because they're his characters. So what I'll have you do, what I'll do is I'll kind of like call out either that one of your characters or a celebrity, and then I'll have have you do their voice with a stanza, and then I'll just kind of keep repeating that. Does that make sense?
That sounds perfect.
Okay, so Mark Sipka, comedian, improv artist, character aficionado extraordinaire, reading Your Voice. So let's start off with Randy Newman.
Your voice creates a ripple over land and well beyond. Truthful words vibrate, lifted to create a loving bond.
Nicolas Cage.
Your voice can be your freedom, or your voice can be your hell. Mindful heed in word and thought, send forth love and light to gel.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, your voice can give permission to another seeking truth. Authentic centered living taps into eternal youth.
Marlon Brando.
Your voice can be the difference to set a young child free. Loving words to encourage, a model for them to be.
Billie Holiday.
Your voice is your ready key to unlock your truthful worth. Spoken pure, life now renewed. Energized, loving rebirth.
One of your characters, Tad.
Your voice gives inspiration for those afraid to speak. Reassuring tones, they're true. Helps others gain their peak.
Another one of your characters, Freddie Falcone.
Your voice is a kindred link when spoken face to face. True connection, eyes unite before texting took its place.
Another one of your characters, Cliff Cobblestone.
Your voice is your true freedom when it's spoken from the heart. Intuition's guiding path helps you play your destined part.
And one more character of yours, Deborah Smelnoff.
Your voice is fundamental for all life and love to flow. Empowered, valued, perfect, painting a worldly glow.
Oh my God, that was great. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that was perfect. I just, those cracked me up so much. So how can folks find you online and on your special on Amazon?
Oh, sure. So if the sort of the central hub of everything is all at my website, marksipka.com. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can find a bunch of videos. You can also go to the section that just says see a show. You can come watch me live. I put my full stand-up schedule on there, and you can watch a bunch of videos, and you can also find the special on there. There's a little section that just says special. Or you can go to Amazon directly. If you have Amazon Prime, you can just type in Mark Sipka or Mark Sipka, my special family special, and it will pop up. And if you have Prime, it's included in your membership. But even if you don't, you can still rent it for, I think, as low as a dollar or two.
Oh, wow.
And you can just watch it as an Amazon customer. So you don't necessarily need Prime in order to watch. And that's where you can check it out. And if you like it, I would love a wonderful review. Those mean a lot. And I think it really helps spread the word. And if you want to keep up with a lot of my videos, you can check it out on my YouTube channel. And I post a lot each week. I post ones on my Instagram, which is just @MarkSipka. And then also on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/MarkSipka. That's where you can find me and keep up with all the crazy.
Awesome. Well, you know, people check him out because he is very, very talented and very, very funny. And I just love seeing his little videos and so I really love seeing him live, but he will put a smile on your face. And before we go, what's next?
So next for me, I am working on that next big thing, my friend. I realized after the special, all right, I got to have a next big thing. And then I won't give too many details, but I am working on a screenplay right now. It's the first time I've ever written a feature-length script, and so I'm working on that right now. That'll be the big thing. But then I'm doing more stand-up shows and really trying to break more into the college market and do some more stand-up on the road. And then in the meantime, I'm looking for what that next sort of recurring thing will be for me, sort of a constant thing, you know, sort of what I did with Business Casual, new videos every Monday, what can be my regular workout that I do. So I'm looking for that, whether it's short recurring videos, who knows? But I'm looking into that and trying to challenge myself to be constantly creating while I'm creating a big thing so that I don't go crazy waiting 2.5 years to put something out.
Just keep doing what you're doing. And I keep saying this to you, but, and I know you're going to get tired of it, but you belong on Saturday Night Live.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, that is where you belong. And I hope to see you on that show one day.
Thanks, man. Hey, maybe someday I'll host it. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be very cool. That would be very cool. Well, thank you as always. And, you know, I'm always wishing you the best. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. You take care, Mark.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Habits for Success, the podcast. I invite you to learn more about the work that I'm doing at gbrianbenson.com, and I hope that you will check out my new book, The Award-Winning Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar, on Amazon via the link habitsforsuccessbook.com. Just remember, the only thing that is standing between you and your goals and dreams is a belief in yourself, a solid foundation, and habits for success. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And we always love making new friends, so please feel free to share this podcast with like-minded individuals. Big thank you to my producer, Casey Jerome Beck. Until next time, be safe, be well, and always be yourself.
Celebrate the big 2020 with T-Mobile. Switch now and get 2 lines for just $90 and 2 new iPhone 11s on us. So you can take a portrait built for 2 with the ultra-wide camera.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, cute.
Hurry in to T-Mobile and get 2 lines for $90 and 2 iPhone 11s on us with qualifying trade-ins.
Via 24 credits for well-qualified buyers with AutoPay, plus taxes and fees. If you cancel before receiving 24 credits, you may owe up to the full value of your device of $699.99. Contact us. Qualifying port-ins and finance agreements required.